everybody, and welcome to the Paul Fax Diary podcast. The week commencing the 24th of September to the week ending 30th September. April hath September. April, June. How does it go, Cecil?
So you've got 30 days hath September. November, June and September. All the rest have 22, except the other ones which have 31.
No, it's not right. Anyway, shut up. 24th of September. I'm just going to crack in and into it because this one's chuffing long, given that I'm on page 10 and page 19 is the 30th of September. So it's 9 pages long. They're usually about 2 to 3 pages long. Shit. That noise you can hear is Whitsuntide Kitten. It's Maundy Mundy Kitten, sorry. He's licking himself, pervert. So I'm just going to crack on. If you remember, we're going to Germany because there's some information that we followed up about a silver trinket box key hidden in a spire in a church in somewhere in Strasbourg in Germany. So let's just crack on with it, Cecil. Everybody, you've got to keep on your toes now. Right, 24th of September.
Stop doing that, Paul. Speak properly.
I like what you do when you're posh.
Stop dawdling. You've got so much to get through.
Fair enough. Hairy muff. 24th of September. Well, what a horrific 4 hours it has been. It's 5:54 a.m. now. Dad woke up about 4 minutes after I'd finished writing yesterday's diary. He stood up in the middle of the room, swaying from side to side. I thought he was asleep again from his simulator. He was not asleep. He turned around to me, screamed at me to turn the lights on, so I did, obviously, and Cecil was green. He rushed to the bathroom and sprayed forth a volume of vomit the likes of which I've never, ever seen. He didn't shut the door, so I saw the whole thing jettison from him. When he finished being sick, luckily on in the bowl of the toilet, he came, stood in the middle of the room, just looked square at me in the eyes and said,
"Oh, Paul, I'm going to have a shocking night, I just know it."
We'd gone from the relative calm of the Humber estuary into the full-on northern sea, and the waters were as rough as mum. Very, very rough. Up and down and side to side, and various other lateral movements, both perpendicular to themselves, thus causing stomach problems. Cecil was running to the toilet every 15 to 20 minutes all night. To my surprise, I didn't feel the least bit sick, but every time Dad retched, I had to jam my fingers in my ears and wriggle them about so I couldn't hear him. But it didn't really work and I could hear him. I tried humming, but that didn't work either. Cecil just told me to shut up because he thought I was mocking him. Just because I was humming the rainbow theme tune. Don't know why that would be mocking him, but he didn't like it. Cecil didn't realise that he hadn't had any travel sickness tablets till about 4 a.m. and then he took some and fell straight to sleep. Unlike me. Stop chewing on that, Maundy Mundy Kitten. I'll get you. Unlike me, the sea was so rough I got so scared I might be thrown from the top bunk at any moment. I was on edge, quite literally. I also feared that the ferry would tip over in a Poseidon Adventure style. So I've been mapping out the ship ceilings in my mind and trying to think if I could get out. And I think I probably could. Maybe. In the evening. Well, we didn't die or drown of vomit or in vomit. I got about an hour's sleep in total last night. And I had a splitting headache all day. We got up at about 7 a.m, about 6 a.m. English time, obviously, because they're back in time, or ahead in time, sorry, on the continent. And we both staggered to the restaurant for breakfast, though I must say I wasn't really hungry for one. Dad was absolutely starving for a meal. I've lost my place, the cat scared me. The boat had gone into calmer waters and was smoothly sailing along, but I just didn't feel in the mood for food, so I just had a tiny breakfast of 20 slices of salami and 20 slices of cheese with that hole in them. It was nice though, wasn't it? Our coach driver hadn't told us anything about what we do. Getting back to the coach on the ferry was very confusing. So we bumbled and walked around confused, frightened and nauseous. As it turned out, everything was announced by a robot-voiced woman and we just followed the crowds. Though at one point, Cecil walked off ahead of everybody and then everybody started following Cecil. But it was going in the wrong way. And then some worker from the docks shouted at him in a language I didn't understand, but Dad got very self-conscious and ran away. I'm sure I saw a tear on his cheek. Eventually we got to the coach and set off by 9:30. Nothing happened for 6 hours. Then we stopped at a service station in Luxembourg and all the smokers rushed out and we followed them out of curiosity. They were buying buckets of tobacco, and not little buckets, big buckets, just huge buckets. I couldn't believe it. And also I saw the biggest jars of Nutella I've ever seen in my life. They cost 30 euros, which in hindsight is not that expensive, but they were as big as my head. It was industrial catering size, but bigger. I really wanted one, but Dad said we couldn't afford it, so we just bought some small, exotic looking snacks, such as chocolate covered waffles, some Milka thing with vanilla centres, various continental crisps, and many salami style type style snacks, and I bought some cinnamon chewing gum. Then we're back on the coach, and nothing happened till around 6:12 p.m. and I'm still shaken by it now. Our coach driver, Bigglesworth, yes, that's his name, is frightfully weird. Has never done this coach tour before, so we didn't know where the hotel was. So the idiot was just blindly following the sat-nav's directions to the letter. That would nearly cost us our lives. When we got near where the hotel was, the driver turned up a country road, which wound up the side of a mountain. It was beautiful to look at, if I'm honest. Everything was going well, and well, for 20 minutes or so, but 20 minutes of travel up the mountain, the road turned from tarmac just to become a gravel track. That was the first hint that we should have turned back time. If I could find a way. I'm doing share at you. But Bigglesworth pushed on up the mountain. The track was about 1 foot wider than the coach. To one side was a steep mountain with no trees in the way. So if we fell, we're fucked. And then some old woman just screamed, "Ah, oh God, that's one steep drop. Are you sure, Bigglesworth, this is the right way?" Wasn't Mum. She's just doing the voice, aren't you, Mum? Yeah. I think that must have thrown Bigglesworth off because he swerved and the whole bus tipped over. Luckily, it had fallen into a ditch on the left-hand side of the track, away from the sheer drop, but leaning towards the mountainside. But now we were stuck in mud. If I had to guess at an angle that the bus had tipped over to, I would say about 30 degrees. But, you know, I got an F in GCSE maths, so what do I know about angles? People, mostly the old ladies, started screaming. Though if the bus had tipped the other way, we'd just roll down an hill like Michael Caine in a Italian Job. So Bigglesworth did something with the gears and drove us free from the ditch. A big cheer went up, but there was nowhere to turn round, so we had to press on up the mountain. After a while, and many far too close calls to near to the sheer drop of the mountain and terrible road surfaces, an old woman just started screaming at Bigglesworth to let her off. She was having the mother of all panic attacks. So Bigglesworth just kindly asked everybody to leave the bus. Well, then he found a field to rotate in. Some of the old chaps directed him and got it turned round. All this time, Cecil had been completely silent and white as a sheet. I thought that was just because he put talc on his cheeks, but no. Once he'd explained that the bus that he could Once he was off the bus, he explained that he could just see how close to the edge we were, as Cecil was sat right next to the window, and he was just terrified. Dad refused to get back on the bus, as did several other biddies than me, so we had to hike down the mountain. Took us an hour. Cecil's ankle started playing up, so I had to find him a stick to rest on, but mostly he just rested on me. I felt quite like St. Christopher carrying the Christ child. It was fun, I liked it. Some of the other biddies started singing hiking songs. Etc. Dad joined in. I felt embarrassed. Eventually we got down the mountain and the bus was waiting for us. We got on and we were met with the biddies that had remained on the bus, and they were giving us foul looks. Really foul looks, and a lot of them were tutting. Sodom, stupid, silly old bastards. I hate them all already. After another hour, it took us forever. Bigglesmouth really hasn't got a clue. We made it to the hotel. Oh, Christmas puppy's kicking off. Dad went and sat on a bench while I had to go get the suitcases. While I was stood in the queue, a moronic blimp of an old man, Biddy, knocked me over a rubbish bin at me. He knocked it off with his giant fat ass and bum bag. But the top of the bin was full of cigarette butts and water, and it splashed all over me, and it stank of rancid water, which stank of rancid eggs and cigarette bottoms. He didn't even say sorry or look round to see what he'd done. Giant fat ass old shit. So I dragged our rooms and the stench back to our hotel room, which of course was at the very top floor, third floor, which looked out over nothing but a tree and another tree. There was also a massive spider in the shower, which I gave a very powerful wash and made sure it had gone down the plug hole. Then it was 7:30 and time for tea. At this point, I didn't know if we were coming or going or were already gone. We staggered to the restaurant and had to sit at a table for six. I waited for the horrors of all biddies coming to join us. I'm so sick of these old biddy holidays where just tons of biddies just come and talk at you. Really annoys me. Oh, here we go. And with the power of editing, you will never hear her mental woof-a-thon. Right, I'm lost now. Table for six. Table for six. Table for six. Table for six. Table for six, come on to me now, where are we? Ah, there we are. We staggered into the restaurant and I had to sit at a table for six. I waited for the horrors of other biddies to join us. I'm so sick of these biddy holidays, just having tons of old biddies that talk bollocks at you every night for 3 hours. I hate people at the best of times, and this was one of the worst days I'd had in quite some time. I was very sleep deprived. So the thought of having to make small talk with four old biddy strangers was deeply unpleasant and annoying me somewhat horrifically more than usual, which is already a lot, isn't it? So I sat there with the foulest look on my fat face and stinking of eggy water. And Dad wasn't talking to me. I think he was drained, both emotionally and physically. And that's when we finally caught a break for the first time on this flicking holiday. All the stupid old bastards buggered off and no one sat with us. It was the happiest meal I've ever had. Not sure I've ever had a better meal in a foreign country. There was no small talk. There was no talk whatsoever. We just sat there eating salty meats and chips. God knows what that meat was. It was slightly pink meat with breadcrumbs around it and salty, salty chips. So the pudding was some kind of fruit in jelly. So I just pushed it towards Cecil. Didn't want what to do with that. Both me and Dad staggered back to our bedrooms, just dazed, confused and utterly exhausted. We're both sat on our beds now writing our diaries while I'm chewing some cinnamon chewing gum. It's very, very, very peppery. I say peppery, I mean cinnamon. Dad keeps having to stop his writing his diary because he says he still feels like he's at sea. As soon as he said he felt it was at sea, I started to feel like I was bobbing up and down. I enjoyed it though, Cecil was going a little bit green. I've had a quick peek at Dad's diary while he's run off to the toilet. It just reads,
God, Germany hates me. I wish to be back in Blighty. Margaret, I love you.
Oh, how sentimental. Maundy Monday kitten. Our hotel room's quite nice, but it is quite compact. There's two separate single beds, but they both have very, very thin duvets and the most bizarre pillows I've ever experienced in my existence. They're 1 meter in length and 1 meter in width, thus a square, but filled with feathers. But not enough feathers to be enough padding for the whole thing, so your head just sinks into them. I had to fold mine 3 times and it still went weird. The bathroom and toilet are all in one. There's no shower cubicle. Well, there's a shower cubicle type. Well, there's a shower, but there's no cubicle. It's just a wet room, as Dad keeps calling it. He keeps saying,
I'm just popping to the wet room to do a poopsicle.
Because he's cold. This means basically the floor in the room are all tiled, and so it don't matter if you get the floor wet, except I've gone through 3 pairs of socks. Dad's socks. Going in and out of there because the floor's just flicking wet all the time. Rubbish. I don't know if you can hear that. Purring at my cheek. There's a tiny TV in the room. It gets German TV, obviously, but Sky News too. Though Dad's forbidden me from watching any news because he don't want to think about England while he's away. Also, there's a hairdryer, which I've used to dry Dad's socks. It's quite powerful, I like it. Put it down my trousers. we don't know what's happening tomorrow. Bigglesworth, the bus driver, hardly speaks. So I don't know when we go to Strasbourg, but I know we do on this holiday, obviously, otherwise we won't have come. Maundy Monday kittens just jumped on my neck. Pounced on me. I've never actually had so little information from one of these national holiday bus drivers. Normally you can't shut them up. I think this holiday is going to be a very, very different experience to normal. It's mostly trying to kill us thrice. That's if you can die from seasickness or missing a train. What next?
25th of September.
Beautiful, Cecil. Finally, we both had an uneventful night's sleep. That was until 7 a.m. when Dad's alarm went off. Which, as I've stated before, is actually 6 a.m. back in old Blighty. But here on the continent, they're an hour ahead of us for some reason. Don't know why. The Earth's flat, why would they be? I think they just want to be different from everybody else on the continent. Idiots. I've lost my place now. That was an improvisation. Did it add anything? Don't think it did. Dad farted around for about an hour. Breakfast was at 8:30. God knows what he was actually doing. I tried to get some more sleep, but the silly old sod was bumbling round. Even put the TV on and watched the weather report for Austria. Stupid. I don't know what goes on in his confused old head sometimes. I finally got up and dressed, and then we went for breakfast. And cue disappointment, hashtag number 37. Or just number 37. Their selections of meat and cheeses consisted of one highly processed pink circle of meat, I'm doing air quotes there that you can't see, which tasted like protein slices that you might see in a science fiction film. They may be packed with all the proteins and minerals you need, but they had no flavour or salts or and the cheese was just yellow. It didn't have any taste either. The breads were only one type, and that type was crusty and dry, and that didn't taste of anything either. It was weird. Just a disaster all in all. And the orange juice had bits in it. The only ray of sunshine was that I got to eat it all at a table by ourselves again. Thankfully, this was due to some quick footwork by Cecil. A particularly grumpy pair of biddies were attempting to come and sit at our table, even though me and Cecil had both put our jackets on the seats. But Cecil nipped off in front of them and reclaimed our spot. I think he just sat there and made me bring him food. But, you know, that's fine. I'll wait on you if you're going to keep a table free of human socialism? Socialisingness. That's a word. Today, in the morn, we went to Friedberg. It was a town or a city, I'm not sure which. There was a market, but it only sold fruit and veg. Not bothered. Cecil bloody loved it. He had to keep going. Oh, he went to all the fruit and veg and just kept touching everything, saying out, oh, what? Shut up, Cecil. I don't know what's happening, Paul. What were you saying about the fruit and veg?
I just said, oh, Paul, look, they're huge compared to an English cucumber.
Anna made a comparison to his penis, and he just put it down and walked away and went to sniff some cheese. In the end, he held up a particularly huge radish and told me to come and feel it. I did not feel it. We walked around the streets. The shops were too posh for us. Apart from for lunch, we had no option but to go into McDonald's. Dad wasn't happy about this because he hates them for some reason. Don't know why. He normally refuses to take me in or have aught to do with them. But I'd had enough. Too many Germans, too many vegetables. So I just marched in, sat down, demanded he fetch me a burger or four. Also, I needed to poo-poo very badly, so I had to use the McToilet. When we finished at McDonald's, we walked. Never going in a single shop, ever. We walked and walked and walked. Then I saw a woman dressed in bright orange being a statue. Both me and Dad freaked out a bit and crossed the road and looked at a window of a gun shop when we got guns for sale. We didn't go in, and Cecil sort of walked off as I was looking at a Luger. Then there was a big church or something, but Cecil was scared of the gargoyles, so we couldn't get in the door. Which, I suppose, is the point of gargoyles, isn't it? Supposed to ward off the bidders. After that, we got back on the bus and went to the most amazing sounding place in the entire planet. After the Isle of Lesbos, obviously. We went to Lake Titicea. I couldn't believe it. I was rubbing myself vigorously. Just rubbing myself furiously. I was going to see just wall-to-wall bosoms, I assumed. And I prepared myself. And by prepared myself meant I just maintained a frightfully powerful erection. Dad hadn't said anything about coming to Lake Titicea before. I guess because if he had, he would have known how excited I would have got and what state of priapic arousal I would have been in, and he wouldn't have been able to shut me up. The bus took us 40 minutes to get to the best place on the planet. But then we did. I jotted down holiday disappointment number 40. There was not a single mention of a bosom anywhere. I felt sick and aroused. Which is a bizarre combination. If anything, it should have been called Lake Disappointment and Cuckoo Clock Land, because there are about 10 shops and every single one of them just sold cuckoo clocks. Cuckoo clocks everywhere. Pretty much nothing else, just Cuckoo Clock Kingdom. Dad wanted one and nearly bought one, and then he saw the price tag, and then it was genuinely 1,000 euros for a clock, and he just backed off. And Cecil got out his little pocket disappointment list and added that to it. We walked around every single shop on Lake Titicea until we came to the best shop I've seen in this holiday so far. Downstairs it just sold cuckoo clocks, but upstairs it was dedicated to German Christmas decorations, and they are the most festive of all the decorations you can imagine. They were all intricate wooden carving shops. Such a magical zone to be in. I got so excited I even bought 3 things and took them to the counter and paid for them myself, and the person I bought them from was a sexy young woman. Well, at least I think it was a sexy young woman. I think it was a woman. I had bosoms anyway, but then so do I. Don't know, it was grumpy, whatever it was. But how could you be grumpy working in a shop that not only sits on a beautiful lakeside in the heart of the Black Forest, but also means that you're working with Christmas things every day? Don't know, grumpy German bugger. And she could have been in an abusive relationship or something. You don't know people's past, do you? You can't make that kind of judgment. Anyway, for lunch, we had giant sausages. We both assumed it had come with some kind of hot dog style bap bun. But no. The sausage, giant sausage though it was placed next to two slices of very thin, very dry, sliced, very dense brown bread. And we weren't provided with any kind of butter or condiment. It was bizarre. A chore to eat, to be sure. And then we went to pay. The really grumpy woman ignored us for ages and wouldn't took her money. So Dad just had to plonk down 20 euros on the countertop and walked away. Oof, she wouldn't last long at Tesco's with customer service like that, to tell her. Then we started to walk back to the bus. But Cecil saw some weird boozies in a shop. So I went to try it. There were lots of open boozes on a countertop and several tiny glasses. Cecil, obviously in his little mind, thought that you could just go up and taste the boozes and then decide what he wanted to buy. So he started pouring himself a wee dram of some drink, don't know what. Then a German man came running up behind us shouting something in German. We didn't know what he was talking about at first, so we just ignored him. Then he grabbed Cecil by the shoulder. Dad jumped and knocked over a massive bottle of something on the floor, and it smashed, obviously. The shouty German man violently pointed at a sign on the wall saying something about not being able to do self-service with these samples. Dad made some gesture as if to say, "I don't understand," and he walked off. I looked at the angry German man and was just stood there looking agog, and I walked off. What am I supposed to do about it? The German man shouted something at us while we were walking away, but we didn't care. We're never going to come back here again. There's no bosoms on display. Then we were far enough away from the shop. Cecil gave me a wry smile and said, Cecil?
I read the sign, Paul. I just didn't think they would dare tell me not to drink it. Like you would in England. No one would bat an eyelid if you ignored a sign. And then, so when the man touched me, I dropped that bottle on purpose. German shit.
Cecil is such a naughty old scamp. That's very naughty behaviour. Should know better at his age. We got back on the bus and drove back to the hotel. On the way back to the driver thought it would be hilarious, and they do this on a lot of national holidays, to play a CD of a Scottish radio personality doing prank phone calls. The biddies all thought it was hilarious. But it was basically just an hour of Scotch people just screaming at each other over the phone in poor quality. And once he did an Indian accent, and I think, no, that's not on, is it? That you probably shouldn't do that. So I did not laugh, and should not laugh, and will not laugh, because it won't be fun. We finally made it back to the hotel and had about 20 minutes to get ready before the evening meal. We rushed and got ready. And by got ready, I mean Dad changed all his clothes, while I sat in my bed and ate a giant pretzel. Didn't taste of anything at all. Getting a little bit worried I can't taste anything now. Then we went to tea. The soup today was stringy, greeny and watery. I kid you not. Cecil said it was probably celery, herb and cream. I had one spoonful just to try and make the pretty waitress look at me. But she didn't, so I just sort of wretched it into my napkin and put it in my pocket. It leaked. It looked like I'd pissed myself a little bit. And then we waited. We sat down to eat the soup at 6:33 p.m. Our next course wasn't delivered until 7:29 p.m. Oh, Whitsuntide kitten. The main course was semi-raw pork, round potato things and a big pile of vegetables. I left 80% of it. The meat scared me. I'm sure you have to cook meat all the way through. I've never seen pork that isn't dry and cardboard-like, so I've never seen it with pink in the middle. I think that's poisonous. And then we waited. And then we waited. Boodly boo. And then we waited. Early two. And then we waited. To a big poo. And then we waited. Early poo. And then we waited. Till the poo. And then at 8:22, the pudding came. Dad was absolutely furious. He hates waiting for food, and to keep him hanging around for nearly 2 hours was almost enough to make him complain. He didn't, apart from to me, continually. But he said he would if it happened again tomorrow. I believe it when I see it. Couldn't taste any of the food whatsoever. I think the cinnamon chewing gum has burnt on my taste buds. Which it has, I can confirm that now. I'm from the future. My taste would slowly regain. But not until we got back to England. I feel cheated. Never got to sample all of the snacks I bought. Well, I got to feel the textures, but not the tastes. Again, we're both sat... Oh! Whitsuntide kitten jumped on my arm. It made me miss a paragraph. We had our pudding. On the menu, it was written as vanilla ice cream dessert pudding. When it finally arrived, it was yogurt with 3 small dark round berries in. Don't know what berries. Shit berries, I guess. Don't know. I gave them to Dad, and he finished it in about 40 seconds. It was the smallest ball you've ever seen. I think of 3 egg cups combined in one tiny ball. And you're about there, maybe. If you're imagining what happened. If you're not, then don't matter, does it? Dad ate it, slammed down the ball, got up and walked back to the room without thanking the waitress, which for Cecil is just, you know, it's not done. He never does that. I tried to smile at the sexy waitress, but she only looked at my feet and mumbled something so inaudible even I couldn't hear what it was. No, I mumbled something inaudible that even I couldn't hear what it was. I think I was trying to say to the waitress, thank you very much, young lady. I'm in room number 374 if you want to come and show me your bottom. But I think it just came out as... So, you know, what can I do? Me and Cecil are both sat writing our diaries now. Well, Dad wrote his usual one line, which is, if I don't find the key... this would have been a giant time, a waste of time and money and effort. I hate Germany. I love you, Margaret. It's been a right grumpy sod this holiday. I think he said about 9 words in total today, which were, not Cecil, sorry, Bigglesworth has been in the right mood. Oh, I'm sorry, but Maundy Monday Kitten's just attacking me. Right, let's just go again. I don't know when we're going tomorrow, what we're doing. Bigglesworth tells us nothing. I think he said about 9 words today, which were...
Be back on the bus by 8:30, please. Thank you.
I suppose he did say be back on the bus by 4:00, please, too. So, you know, there's a bit of variation there, isn't there? A bit of variation. Anyway, that's all for today. I'm going to go to sleep. Maybe eat some more chewing gum. Thank you very much. Toodaloo. Maundy Kitten's come to sit on my lap and have a chat with you. But he can't chat because he's a cat. Cats can't chat. I'll have to turn that up. Poop to poop poop. Oh, he's seen the volume level thing going up and down. He's about to pounce on the monitor, I'd warrant. Anyway, that's not information you're interested in, is it? I don't want to say I'm recording this on another day because yesterday I fell asleep recording this, because that would be weird if that happened. But I did have to go have a nap because I was tired because it's too hot. Anyway, never mind that. Let's just crack on. 26th of September. I have absolutely no faith in our bus driver. I'm sure he's trying to kill us. Or himself. He mounted the curb 8 times today. First thing this morning, we got up and had breakfast. They didn't even have any of the pink protein meat. They had another slice of meat, but it had lumps in it and see-through clear bits of gel. Like, honestly, glycerin, but it's not glycerin, is it? It was disgusting. Didn't have any of that. So I just had to have 2 sweet bread roll things, and I put a ton of cheese in them. But even the cheese isn't very nice. None of it's nice. Can't taste out. Stupid cinnamon chewing gum. The Germans at the next table gave me some very peculiar looks because I was eating in a peculiar manner, but it don't matter, does it? They're not going to marry me. I'm guessing that the sweet bread is not supposed to have cheese in it, but it was nice. It's lovely. Sodom. Not bothered. It was like a cheesy Pop-Tart that's, you know, lovely, lovely, lovely. Dad wanted to see how much he could eat. So this morning, Cecil had for breakfast boiled eggs, 6. Slices of toast, 4. Slices of cheese, 8. Meat slices. He tried it. He didn't like it. Bowls of cereal, 2. Don't know what the cereal was. It was just crunchy. Like a muesli or muesli. Or muesli. Don't know how you pronounce it. Yogurt. 3 bowls. Apparently it was the same yogurt that we had for pudding last night. Slices of bacon, 6. But the bacon had been boiled, so I refused to try it. Cecil said it was nice, but I'm not going to eat boiled meat, am I? Scrambled egg. 1 mouthful. The second he tried the scrambled egg, he had to run off to find a toilet to be sick in. Apparently it was off, and it also had the consistency of an egg custard, which Dad hates almost as much as I hate tomatoes. Apparently he sicked it all back up. I don't just mean the egg, I mean all his breakfast. It took 14 sicks before it stopped being sick. And then he came back and had another 2 boiled eggs and toast. I just sat there all the time astonished he was trying to eat so much. You know, given he hasn't pooed so far. Couldn't believe it. I don't know why he tried the scrambled egg.
I tried it because it looked delicious. Just didn't taste or have the texture of deliciousness. You eat a lot of stuff, Paul. I'm allowed to experiment, even if you won't.
Hey, I experimented with those onion crisps the other night.
Yes, Paul. Yes, you did. I'm very proud of you.
Shut up. Anyway, at 9 a.m. we set off for Strasbourg. Both me and Father... excuse me, I'm a bit phlegmy today. So we set off for Strasbourg. Both me and Father and... as it turns out, Grandfather, were convinced this was in Germany. However, we're moronic geographical idiots because, turns out, Strasbourg is in France. French fans. And there's one thing Cecil hates more than egg custard, and that's the French. He's always had a deep distrust of them since one of them stood in our way trying to get a bus when we went to Austria, made us a little bit late. Couldn't believe it when we found out it was in France. Dad was furious. But we had to come to Strasbourg to find the key to the silver trinket box, so don't matter, does it? We just had to do it, Cecil.
Wasn't just me. You were shocked that we were in France as well, and you hadn't brought your passport, and you shit yourself a little bit.
It's true, I did. It was right frightening. Didn't realise I was crossing a country border. What if I got a jihad on my head? You don't know what's going to happen, do you? Anyway... we got off the bus at about 10:30 a.m. and walked towards the huge church thing, Notre Dame. Again, I thought that was in Paris, clearly not. But hey, ho, what do I know? I don't know where to go. Should I go here? Should I go there? I don't know, I won't go anywhere. Is what Cecil was singing to me as he just paraded round the streets.
Yes, one of my favourite marching songs.
Shut up. Anyway, we found the big church in the centre, and this, I think it had to be the church Grandad was talking about. Opposite, there was a hotel, the one Grandad lived in for a while with me. So we got to the church and began looking around for gargoyles that looked like a young Bruce Forsyth. Took us 52 minutes, but we definitely found one that by a door that certainly looked like it. The only problem was there was a thick piece of red rope in our way. So how could we get past this and get to the door? There's only one thing for it. Somebody was going to have to make a distraction while somebody very brave snuck through the door and up the steps. We tossed a coin off, and 5 times out of 5 it came that I had to do the distraction. So I thought, nah, I'm not having that. Forget it.
Moundy, Moundy kitten, you're spoiling the floor.
Anyway, in the end, Dad had to go and pretend to fall over while some of the security guards went to his old age. And I snuck through the door. Then I got through the door and looked up. I wish I'd done the distraction. There must have been at least, 8,010 stairs.
Oh, Maundy Mundy kitten, why do you have to play right under the microphone? That's like the worst spot in the entire house. You could dawdle and play Merry Japes.
Oh, God, he's seen the mouse pointer now. Oh, bloody hell, he's going for it. Yeah, that's... No, sit on my hand. Anyway, I looked up at the stairs. Always off. Sorry. There must have been 8,010 stairs. I had to climb them all. Took me 35 minutes. And I was sick once or twice because I was just so... doing exercise because I'm a muscle man now. And I finally reached the top. It looked like it hadn't been cleaned in decades. I had no idea which way east was, so I just started pulling bricks out near the floor around various windows. Quite a lot crumbled away, but none of them had anything behind it. But then finally, I pulled one and it had a leather folder behind it. Flemmy. I grabbed it, but I also checked absolutely everywhere just to be double super safety sure in case some other kind of National Geographic, National Treasure type adventure was being had. Or Da Vinci Code, whatever you want to imagine this is based on. So I grabbed the leather folder and put it under my jerkin. I ran down the stairs and through the door, and a Frenchman gave me an odd look, but he didn't say anything. He just had a big bulbous nose. I went outside and met Dad at the hotel as arranged, and we walked down the hill to the river, out of the gaze of any CCTV or MI5 that should be peeping on us. We slowly opened the folder, carefully, delicately, and very bravely. Could have been full of, I don't know, Nazi paper. But inside was a piece of paper and a cube of stone and a lighter. I read the paper, which had these words written on it. To whom it may or may not concern. Within this cube is hidden a key. This key belongs to a silver box hidden within my writing bureau. Within the box are artifacts which, if discovered by the wrong people, could destroy all of humanity. If you need this key, the only way for you to access it is by melting the stone it is now encased inside of. To do this... But the paper had gotten damp and was unreadable. And Dad just started getting really angry and flummoxed. He just picked up the cube and the lighter and started to try and burn it. And amazingly, it worked. The stone got very, 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 very hot and started to disintegrate on the pavement. And after about 10 minutes, there was a key poking out the side of it. Then after another 5 minutes, the rest of the cube started to completely disintegrate, and Dad picked up the key and clutched it in his old biddy fist. And then Cecil was just weepy, and he grabbed me and went to hug me with joy, because he finally had the flicking key of power. And then as Cecil hugged me, he started screaming at the top of his ancient lungs, just screaming. I assumed it was the smell had reached him. You know, once you penetrated the outer smell, there's an inner smell, which I'm acclimatised to now, but from an outsider, it's probably horrific. And then he just started flinging his arms in the air, screaming, didn't know what was going on. As it turns out, the key had been red hot. We just saw it shoot out from his hand, fly up through the air, and then it went plop into the river that we were sat next to. The river was fast flowing and full of boats. The key was never seen again. Cecil did a full-on man weep, but not like a manly stoic sort of, oh, I'm about to die in a trench kind of weep. It was an open sob like a woman might do. For 20 minutes he just sat there, just inconsolable, clutching at his hot hand. I didn't know what to say or do, so I just sat next to him looking at boats going back and forth, pretending I was in Bergerac. The river was so very busy and filthy. It was huge. It was like the Thames. It wasn't just like a little stream, like, you know, a stream, a silvery stream or whatever. You know, there's no way anyone's going wading in that. It'd be full of silt. We just sat there, father, in silence, me, tummy rumbling, thinking, how soon can I ask him before I want him to buy me a burger? Because I wanted a burger. But then Dad just suddenly grabbed me by the tit and said,
"Shit! Paul, look!"
And I looked down at his hand, and he had a bright red mark in the exact same shape of a key. It was a simple key, and the outline of the... I don't know what the technical word is, but for the key bit, was embedded in his hand in a burnt mark, like the Nazi in Indiana Jones and the... Joan of Arc. Raiders of the Lost Ark, apologies. You know, like the Nazi gets that thing in his hand burnt like that. That's what Cecil's hand was like. Cecil then began to propose the idea that maybe someone could make a key from what it looks like, because it was a perfect copy but just in burnt flesh. Rather conveniently, a bit too convenient if you ask me, we walked 50 yards down the road and found an English-speaking key cutter.
Shut up, Paul.
We went in and Dad showed him his hand and told him he needed a key cut to the exact same dimensions of this. The man was very helpful and took several pictures and drew the exact shape of the key and size of the key and said it would take a couple of months to make a key from a scar, but it was possible. Cecil was happy again. He paid the man €25 for this service. And I said, "Are you sure it's going to take 2 months? And the man said, "Yeah, probably about 2 months. That should keep the tension going." I said, "What?" And he just didn't say anything. After that, we went to a restaurant and Dad had a knuckle of ham. It looked flicking disgusting, but he made me try some of the hammy meat. It was nice. It was all right. Salty bacon type meat. Mm-hmm. I had ordered a well-done beef burger. Don't know why they asked if it was well-done. Because, you know, how can you have various degrees of cookedness of a burger? You can't, can you? Anyway, when it came, it was pink in the middle. I would go as far as to say it was still bloody in the middle. It was probably one of the most disgusting burgers I've ever had. It was bland, and hidden underneath the beef ring was a massive, massive slice of tomato, loads of onions and lettuce. It was an abomination of a burger. And I think the bun was off because it was horrifically crunchy on the bottom. The burger was chopped. It was just like a pork chop. You know, I don't even think it was beef. I think it was just a pork chop that they'd just chopped up a bit. It was horrible. I'll never forget it. Never forget it. Dad said to me to not mention the key business to Mum because it was going to cost €325 in total. I think the €25 was a down payment deposit type thing. I asked Dad why it would take them so long to get a new one cut, but he said he didn't know, the man wouldn't talk to him. Cecil reckons we'll get it by Christmas. I said that's not 2 months away. He just told me to shut it. Later in the afternoon, we walked around shops. It was boring. They only seem to have poncy clothes shops here. I don't know where all these people buy the DVDs and crisps from. We got back to the bus, but not before seeing an old man fall off his bike, land flat on his face, give up kitten, and then nearly get run over. Because this place is riddled with people on bikes, and they just go wherever the hell they want. It's even worse than Austria. They go the wrong way down a one-way street. They go on the left-hand side when they're supposed to be passing the duchy on the right-hand side. It's stupid. Luckily, no cyclists were crashing as a result of me. We also saw a man so drunk he crossed the road and fell over in between two cars. I thought I was going to see another third man die, and that accident would be our bus crashing. But Bigglesworth just mounted the pavement a few times and nothing more. We got to the hotel back at about 4 o'clock. So we were just sat round and waiting for din-dins, which apparently today is mushroom soup, followed by then another hour's wait. Oh, no, not apparently. That is what happened. What? Terrible writing. Then it was followed by another hour's wait, and then chicken and noodles. Don't remember that. Maundy Monday kitten. 7:59 in the evening time. We've just got back from our evening meal now. They actually had soup, the main meal, and puddings all done and served within an hour and a half of each other. It took half an hour for each of these three courses. I mean, it's ridiculously long, really. Mum would be furious if she was here, but it's still faster than other nights. But the best, slash, part about it was there was a chap playing an accordion all the way through the food. So while I struggled to eat a red liquid with one bay leaf in, I think it was supposed to be tomato soup, Cecil was bobbing up and down to "Oh, when the sun's got magic, oh, when the sun's got magic." When our meal came out, Cecil got so carried away with singing to "She'll be coming round the mountain" that he spat a lump of chicken out from his mouth, which hit a lady on the back of the head. She looked round, but Cecil didn't realise what he'd done, so he wasn't even looking at her, but I saw it. It amused me a bit. It's a shame because that bit of chicken looked quite nice. I thought about going and pulling it out for perm, but she'd probably spit at me or something. Oh, most of the other people on the bus are Scottish or Scotch. They all seem to be so quick to anger. I think the woman thought I'd spat it in her hair, to be honest. Oof. Oh, snotty nose. I've lost my place now, Wonder Wonder Kitten. Let's rewind a bit. Blah, 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 blah. Most of the people on the bus are Scotch, and the Scotch are very, very quick to anger. Not like the Irishers or the Welshies. Oh, well, it's about 70% Scotch and 30% Geordie, as usual. They're both such a volatile bunch. But they do love a good accordion sing-song. I found it all quite amusing and embarrassing at the same time. Much like when I look at my penis. It's a strange mix of emotions, to be sure. The Scottish woman who the chicken had hit her on the back of the head told her husband. He didn't say anything or give me dirty looks. Maybe he's as spineless as Cecil is. Monday Kitten, you little shit. He's attacking my wrist pipes. Tonight, me and Father watched the DVD. It's the Toys Story, which was a rip-off of Disney's Toy Story, but it looked like PlayStation 2 graphics. Rubbish. The kind of shit you'd see on Netflix.
27th of September.
Ow, you little bastard. Not doing it. If you're going to do it, Cecil, you're going to do it properly. Right?
No. Oh. Kitten's still going ballistic.
This is the third day of reading this. Very long diary entry. Okay, so here we go. Take it away, Cecil, properly.
27th of September.
Thank you. Breakfast was at 8 a.m. this morning, as usual. Too bloody early for me. I struggled to get up at 7:50 a.m. and as a result, I was frightfully grumpy all day. I snapped at Dad when he offered to brush my teeth for me. It's not something he's ever done before, and I think he was just trying to wind me up, actually. The hotel owners have obviously been out shopping because the meat slice was along, but it was back with a little friend. Salami had been purchased. I had 12 of the 20 slices, and 8 slices of that holy cheese. And some relatively nice bread had been provided too, so that put me in a nicer mood. Monday Kitten, no, don't fall off the sofa, you're going to. It's plummeting head forward. Stop it. Today in the morning we went to Baden. I thought it would be a quaint little market town with like small shops selling trolls and cuckoo clocks and the whatnot. But once again I was frightfully mistaken. It's the poshest place I've ever been to. We couldn't even afford an iced cream treat. Every shop was either £700 pair of shoes, €700 pair of shoes, posh woman's clothes and jewellery shops, and most of the clothes and shops and jewellery didn't have price shops for the price. Oh, sorry, Monday Kitten's been right Battenberg at me. Nothing had price, it was too posh for me. I saw one ring in a shop that was for sale for 23,000 European dollar pounds. Rubbish. We didn't buy any lunch. We didn't stay long, which was good because the street performers were coming out of the woodwork by the time we were leaving. There's a chap dressed as Charlie Chaplin, and he came and stood very close to me. I avoided eye contact and walked away. Thankfully, he didn't follow me. We got back on the bus after We got back on the bus after Cecil bit the expensive bullet and bought some incredibly expensive cheese straws. He won't let me try them. He says he's saving them for Christmas. The bastard. We got back on the coach and went to another town. I don't know what it was called. I'll have a look later. It was apparently the mostly destroyed in the war. Then they rebuilt it to exactly how it was. Ugh. I didn't realise that pre-war that it was full of expensive jewellery shops and clothes shops. Rubbish. Seems to be all they sell round here. Overly priced, thin, biddy European clothes and jewellery-based adornments. Cecil was moaning about being old and tired. He just stormed off and walked into a cafe. I followed him because I was young and tired and a bit hungry. Well, I'm always hungry. That never stops. When we sat down, a German waitress came up to us and asked what we wanted to drink. Cecil did his usual trick of just blankly looking at the person and then sort of shaking his head, looking confused at me and then just saying, "What?" I guess she'd come to take our order, not quiz us on European socio-political matters, so I told Dad to point to tell her to what he wanted to drink. We also pointed at somebody else's pudding and asked for two of them because they were selling cream cakes. When she came back with our drinks and cakes, I was given the cake we ordered, which was like a lovely round cinnamon roll. And then Dad was given some strange thing with fruit in it. He tried to make me have it because he wanted the cinnamon roll, but it was too late. I'd licked it and got some of my chin slobber on it. So he backed down and ate it. Whilst we were there, it began to rain really quite heavily. We tarried a while, for a long while. And then another couple from the bus came and sat near us. They were sat on the next table to the right of us and just having a conversation with each other, a private conversation with each other. They weren't talking to us or anything. But we were so close we couldn't not hear them. And then Dad started doing his usual trick of talking to me about the conversation he could overhear. So embarrassing. But, you know, they were talking about some form of contraception and Dad just started saying, "Yes, if you ever have sexual intercourse, Paul, you'll need to use that too. Although that's probably never going to happen." So embarrassing. I think he thinks he just can't hear him, but, you know, it was so obvious he was just listening to them because he was looking at them pretty much. Anyway, when me and Dad got up, Dad said goodbye and the couple and Geordie woman, they just gave him a cold, almost snooty, "Yes, bye," back. Well, grumpy. We marched around the town some more and we went into a shop and I almost bought some boozes, but then I chickened out when I saw it cost 20 euros. Too much for me. Nothing interesting happened. On the way back, the driver put a CD of Irish style songs on and all the British sang along. Just about to go for tea now. I fear what horrors they'll provide us with. I suspect a cabbage... dogs are woofing and truffing. I fear cabbage-based liquids. 7:38 p.m. o'clock. Friedenstadt was the time we went in this afternoon. It's got a lovely fountain in the middle of it you can walk through. Anyway, there was no cabbage for tea, but there was, once again, a ridiculous wait. We got our soup-based liquids at about 6:30. Then 40 minutes later, we got our boiled beef in white sauce. Then we waited for 30 minutes for some alleged pudding, but I couldn't stand to wait anymore, so I came back to the bedroom without Cecil. I think you can guess what I did. That's right, I ate all the expensive cheese straws Cecil bought. Oh, they were delicious. But he's going to be absolutely furious. It's 8:10 and he's not back yet. I don't know why it takes him so long to serve tea. You think they want us to get in and out as rapidly as possible so they could get back to chain drinking. You know, because all the Scotch people and Geordies just seem to sit in the bar all night getting well pissed. I'm just sat watching German TV while I write this diary entry. It's odd. I don't know what they're saying, but there was a young man and an old man sitting in a forest and they just perched atop an ant's nest, and they just started pouring the ants over the young man. It was bizarre. Bizarre. Dad's just come back from tea. Apparently the pudding was out of this world and everyone got a free erotic postcard set. But Dad gave his away. Don't believe him. Tomorrow we ain't going anywhere, so Dad wants to go through a walk for a walk through the Black Forest, which is what we're in apparently. There better not be any bears or wolves. But I bet there are.
28 on September.
Shut up, Cecil. Say it Englishly. We're in Brexit now. A hard Brexit. A sexual Brexit.
A sexit.
Whatever.
28th of September.
Page are we on? 17 and 19. Good God. Today was our free day. I asked the driver if we got any money back because it was free. He just walked away laughing, but in a mocking tone. What this meant was that they were serving breakfast from 8 a.m. till 10 o'clock. So we got to sleep in a little bit. So of course, Dad was up by 7 as usual, faffing and a spaffing. Doing God knows what, tidying up he says, but what was he tidying up? There was nothing to tidy up. Anyway, I managed to get to sleep till about 10 to 9, then he started thunking about the place. I'm sure it was on purpose just to wake me up. So we went for breakfast at about 9 o'clock. All the meats and cheeses had gone. There was two sweet roll things left. I had them. Dad had melon. Took us 8 minutes. If only tea had taken that long. The hotel people were putting on a tour of the local village, but as the local village only has two churches, a stream and some houses that people live in, we didn't go on it. All the other biddies went on it though. We could see them all lined up waiting from our bedroom window. They all seemed to be making friends. Bastards. They all ignore me and Dad. It's like we're outcasts. Like we've been shunned. That's how I like it, if I'm honest with you. There's one thing I hate. It's making small talk with old people for 2 hours on an evening. They can all go jump off a long pier onto a short road or whatever the saying is. Anyway, so this morning we took ourselves off on a nature hike. I don't know why or how I agreed to it. Probably because Dad said he'd buy me whatever I wanted from the tiny shop. I hadn't even seen the tiny shop, but apparently there was one. It was quaint and they didn't have much stuff in. I made Dad buy me some crisps, chocolate and a magazine, as I thought it would have saucy German women in. They don't seem to be bothered about toplessness, from what I can tell. But it was just full of German crosswords. Also, the woman tried to sell Dad a tin of red cabbage because it was dinted. He refused, but she kept asking him, "You buy? Very tasty." But Dad just nearly walked out, but she shut up just in time and charged us for our lunch purchases. I asked Dad for a pretzel for lunch and he came out with a bread bun and a mini croissant. Though I didn't know that at the time, otherwise I would have never agreed to go for a walk. I only wanted to go for a walk because I wanted a mini pretzel. We began our walk by following some yellow diamonds painted on street trees. Yeah, there were. Like public footpaths in England, we enjoyed a walk down a nice path along a sheep field. All the sheep came at us and baaed at us. Dad stroked one on the nose, but I thought that was dirty. Shouldn't do... Ooh, Wandy Monday kitten's back. I thought that was dirty, and Dad agreed. So he tried to not touch his face or food with his left hand, which just meant he was holding it out at arm's length in a camp sort of limp-wristed style. They looked a bit peculiar. We then followed the yellow diamonds up a bit of an hill. And when I say up a bit of an hill, it means we walked for 2 hours almost vertically up the side of a mountain covered in trees. It's the single most exhausted 2 hours of my life. Every bench we came to, I had to have a sit down and a rest. Dad said we couldn't and wouldn't have lunch until we got to the top. But we never ever seemed to reach the top. Just up and up and up and up and up. Though we did have horrendous fun spotting the local insects. And by fun, I mean I flinched and screamed at everything. There were beetles flying at my face, cobwebs across the path, caterpillars just floating in mid-air somehow, crickets are jumping and are bumping, and the biggest anthill I'd ever seen in my entire life. Like the one in the old German and young German man sat on in the programme last night. I told Dad to go sit on it. He just slapped me on the bum. A bit too sexually, if you ask me. He just said he caught me incorrectly. He meant to hit me a lot harder. Patted me right on the buttock. Finally, we reached the top and Dad got the food from the shop out. And we got to see what he'd bought. Or I got to see what he'd bought. He bought crisps, certainly. The bread bun that was supposed to be a pretzel. Cecil's tiny croissant. And the chocolate, which turned out to be full of fruit. And for some reason, he bought a square of yeast. Don't know why. So we shared the crisps that were bland. And the bread products. It was chewy. And I thought, I'm going to try and have a little sleep. So I sat against a tree after I'd swept it for spiders, ants, beetles, moths, Germans. And I was nearly drifting off when I heard... Ah, I was not seeing thee. Hello, you wee babby. It was a Scotch or a Geordie couple from the coach. I don't really know the difference, they all sound the same to me. They came and sat with us on the bench and they even helped themselves to our cube of yeast. Believe it, I think they thought it was cheese. Ugh. After about 5 incredibly awkward minutes of small talk, Dad said, Oh, well, I suppose we must be getting back to the hotel. So the bastards joined us on our walk down the side of a mountain. Linda and Ian, they were called, I think. And they walked with us and kept... Oh, Morning Wonder Kitten, don't do it. He was about to jump far too far for his little torso. Sorry. Linda and Ian, I think they were called. They walked with us and kept talking, but neither me or Dad could really understand what they were saying. We came to a fork in the road and none of us knew if we should go left or right. Both looked like they went down, so we took the road on the right. As it turns out, this was the wrong road, not the right road. After a while, the road became a path. Then the path became a narrower path. Then just a tiny track. Then it just looked like it was the bit, like, where rain would flow down the hill. Incredibly treacherous and muddy walk. I kept slipping, as did everybody else. We got to a bit where it was just mud going practically vertically down. Linda had a mini freak out and said she was going back and was going to take the left-hand track. Ian had an argument with her in Scottish, and I couldn't understand either of it. But shortly after, Linda stormed down the muddy track with no bother. Then Ian followed her, but he slipped right at the top and fell down and rolled and skidded on his face. Once he came to the bottom of the hill, he just laid there. I thought, oh shit, this is Maxim and Ian again, innit? Another chap's died on a holiday walk. But Linda didn't even look back, she just kept on walking in a grumpy Scotch manner, leaving me and Dad to deal with him. So me and Dad took our time and got carefully down the slope to Ian. He was awake, but apparently he had broken something, and we weren't sure what. He got up and started walking, so cat up in his legs, just couldn't understand his accent. He shouted at Linda at the top of his voice, and she just ignored him. He was covered in wet mud from head to toe, and he had ants in his testicles. I think that's what he said. Took us another 3 hours to get back to the hotel via scary paths and tracks. Dad kept saying there were bears in these woods. I'm not sure if he was kidding or not. We walked past like some kind of hillbilly sort of wooden, I don't know what it was, like a trough or something. Something you'd see in a horror film, like the hillbillies have eyes, the hills have eyes or something. It was terrifying. I thought at any moment I was going to get an axe in my cock. Paul! I knew that I'd get it. Anyway, once we got back to the village, Ian ran away from us. He's not said much since Linda had run ahead. I tried to talk to Cecil, actually, but Cecil was just confused at him. So he just stopped after a while, didn't he, Dad?
Yes.
No, thanks for that. Oof, I hate people. They're all bastards. Me and Dad have just been sat in the hotel room all afternoon with our feet in water because they ache so much after that hike. I never ever want to walk up a mountain again. We're going for our final tea here in half an hour. I dread to think how long it's going to take to get served tonight. A miracle's happened. It's 7:40 and we're back from tea. I've never seen service like it. Well, that's not true. I've seen relatively slow services in many hotels that we've stayed in. But for this place, that's practically light speed. As soon as we'd finished our soups, the wait was only about 10 minutes for our main course, which was a flicking massive sausage. It was quite nice, but Cecil kept getting lumps and spitting them out at me because, you know, he'd had a beer and I'd had a beer and we were both in a jocular mood. Oof, it was almost enough to put me off my food because the bit of gristle hit me on the lip. Oh, it nearly went in my mouth. Ugh, but it didn't put me off my food. Then for pudding, it was bright green jelly. I haven't had jelly in decades, so it was a bizarre but nice surprise. Though it did take them 32 minutes from us finishing our main meal to them serving us our pudding. We're back in the hotel room now, packing like beavers going away for a sexy weekend, except it wouldn't be sexy because it was just me and Dad. Again, we have to be up at stupid o'clock as usual on these national holidays. I'm going to get the breakfast room early so I can eat all the damn salamis. I can't believe I've only had one chunk of salami this holiday. Such a letdown. Oh, Dad's shouting at me to stop writing this and come and help him pack. Ah, well, he can sort my pants and socks out. I'm not touching them.
29th of September.
Well, we were up at whatever time it was before the sun gets up. About 5 a.m, I reckon. We had a mad dash around, got the main luggage on the bus, then had to wait nearly an hour before they opened the restaurant for breakfast. Dad was not happy. Oh, well. He's been asleep all night, snoring like a gibbon, and keeping me from slumbering, actually. I don't know how Mum sleeps through when he gets in a snore on. Not only does he snore, but he speaks in his sleep too. Last night, I think he was talking about... What were you saying, Cecil?
How the hell should I know? I was asleep.
But it says it in the diary. I wrote it out, Cecil.
Oh, excuse me. Oh, apparently I said in my sleep. Oh, there's too many steaks dripping on my valance. Margaret, the guest, will be upset if it's meaty chunks on there.
Bizarre. Having Christella flashbacks, were you?
Yes.
Anyway, when we finally got to get to breakfast, there was an old plate of salami, but no other meats. So I just took the whole plate. But then a nasty Scotch woman challenged me to it and I had to take it back. Though I did help myself to 10 slices, I just grabbed them with my hand. And 5 slices of cheese and 2 buns with poppy seeds on them. I hope I get tested for drugs because then they've got opium in that and that'll be a delicious heady combination for me. After breakfast, we all sat on the bus and just waited. We waited and waited and waited and waited. And then we were waiting for Ian and Linda to show up. Clearly, they had no breakfast and slept through their alarm. Oof, Linda had a face like an angry German after they'd been heard that they've run out of Wiener Schnitzel. They stormed to the back of the bus and then we set off late. The driver was not happy. We were on the bus for 9.5 hours until we had a stop at some services in Luxembourg. We couldn't afford the sandwiches because they were stupid. 5 Europes and they all had salad in them. So I got some crisps and a bar of chocolate. But I was too sleepy to eat them and my taste buds haven't returned yet because of the stupid cinnamon chewing gum. Ugh. I've been drifting in and out of consciousness all morning on the bus. I kept seeing giant spiders. Everywhere. I think I must just have been very sleepy. We set off from the services and almost instantly hit a traffic jam. Quite literally. You see, we were driving along the traffic jam and then we came to a stop. Then some stupid German, I'm assuming, the German, don't know why I'm making that assumption. Some stupid person decided that they couldn't be bothered sitting in a traffic jam. So they reversed up on the hard shoulder. Past us, but us being the big bus. We were quite long. And the problem with them reversing past us was that they had a trailer on the back of their truck. And the trailer started to jackknife, I think that's the word, I don't really know. And it reversed off at an angle and dug into our side of the bus and caused a huge gash right under where I was sat in the door and in the passenger door. Couldn't believe it. There was a huge scraping noise and lots of old ladies and Cecil on the bus started screaming hysterically. Bigglesworth just screamed, "Ah, you French imbecile!" And then he stopped the bus and stormed out at the driver who just crashed into us. Bigglesworth got off, and as did a load of old biddy men, just to be nosy, I think they were. Couldn't resist being nosy. You know what old men are like. Nosy. Anyway, yeah, it was damaged. He got the insurance and he just kept swearing racistly. I'm going to complain about that. Anyway, we got to the ferry with little bother, save for Dad got stopped going to the passport thing while two people had to come back to look at his photo. I knew his weird expression would get us into trouble. When he goes to the booth where you have to show your passport, he just sort of does a huge smile and winks at them. I think that puts them on edge and thinks, hey, what's going on here? Why is he doing that? Stupid. He just needs to look sour-faced. Anyway, we got on the ferry and it set off almost instantly. It's not the same ferry we came on, but it's virtually identical. Except for this one vibrates more. Or vibrates a hell of a lot more. Oof. I'm terrified. We're going to have a repeat of Dad's vomit-a-thon tonight. Or, even worse, that I'll get sick. Oof, please don't, Neptune. Keep calm, I'll be good. Don't make us rough, rocking and a-knocking. We went for tea. It's buffet all-you-can-eat style. But, worst thing was, the prospect of sicking it all up again made me not want to eat much. I had a very light tea. Just had two pizzas and four tubs of ice cream. I was quite sad, despondent, lonely. We sat in the bar for a long while with Cecil just looking off into the middle distance. Apparently he was contemplating the whole silver trinket box situation. Though he wouldn't talk to me about it and came to no conclusion apparently. He was just being wistful, I think. Also he kept having flashbacks to being in the war. Nah, you know, his ship being blown up. Having to eat that man. We were both in bed then. Not the same bed, obviously. I'm in the top bunk again while Cecil's in the bottom bunk. Again, my bed is incredibly narrow. I'm certain I'm going to fall out of it. Why the flick they don't put rails on these sons of bitches, I don't know. But the worst part about tonight is that our room is utterly surrounded by German teenagers. I can clearly hear every single word of what they're saying. Obviously, it's in German, so I've not got a clue what they're talking about. It's probably hip and cool and with it, you know, talking about what's going down in the mean streets of Berlin. I reckon I wish they'd shut up or piss off, preferably both. It's weird that in the door there's a gap of 2 inches on the under the door. Don't know why. You could, if you got turned on by feet, you could just crawl around and look at people's sexy ankles. Because you can see through the gap in the door at the bottom. Don't know why. I think it's if it's sinking, it lets water in so you drown faster. So you can't sue them. Right, I'm going to go try and sleep now. The whole boat's vibrating though. It's like sitting on a giant vibrator, I imagine. But one that's boat-shaped. And that don't go in you go in it. Maybe women don't like it. I don't know. I don't know what's going on. Oh, right. Night, night, dear diary. I hope Cecil doesn't vomit again.
10th of September.
Well, thank you for you, merciful Neptune. That was hard to say. Last night, both me and Father slept like tiny baby kittens in fresh laundry. 5 whole hours of unadulterated, vibrating slumber. Yes, the but vibrated like a Parkinson's disease sufferer in an earthquake. But I think that helped us sleep. It's like being rocked, isn't it? Then we got to the ferry after a slap-up breakfast of as much meats and cheeses as I could stuff into my face. Away up. That's it. That's all I wrote on the 30th of September. That's very short shrifting. Oof. Rubbish. Rubbish podcast reading. A bit tedious, that one. Oof. Right, well, I hope you've enjoyed it. Why not do an internet web search on the videos from my German holiday? Maybe I'll put them in, I don't know, in the web page where this is. Don't know how to do that. I have to do some internet research. Anyway, hope you've enjoyed it. I'm unable to speak now. Night, night, and have a beautiful, beautiful last week of September. Poo-poo!